Activist Radio is on the air. You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal. Mark is training a new generation of leaders to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
The First Amendment reads, Congress shall make no law. The First Amendment of the United States Constitution reads, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion or restricting free expression. That's what the First Amendment reads. The question we have today, and what we're going to talk about here on the Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist, is whether it's necessary for legislatures, like in the state of Ohio, to pass additional measures to protect free speech. That's what we want to talk about today, because that's what's happening. There's a bill that's been introduced into the Ohio legislature that is going to be called the Campus Free Speech Act. Like, we needed that, but it's called the Campus Free Speech Act, and it's supposedly going to at least establish some ground rules for First Amendment free speech activities on university campuses within the state of Ohio. And the question I ask is this necessary? Now, generally speaking, your radio activist who's been on the front lines of the culture war, fighting on the abortion issue and child killing for over 20 years, my position has been historically that there's no reason to so-called improve upon the First Amendment. It doesn't need it. It's clear. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion or restricting the free exercise thereof. It's pretty clear the restriction is to Congress only, right? Unfortunately, over the decades since, there have been restrictions and laws and other things to restrain free speech. But the First Amendment's clear. And if we were following the Constitution as written, if we are adhering to the free speech amendment to the Constitution, we wouldn't have to pass legislation in the Ohio State House or anywhere else. But unfortunately, we're not. You know, if courts were interpreting the Constitution correctly, we wouldn't need to introduce this type of legislation. My point is this: if we follow the Constitution, if we follow the First Amendment, and we have courts that uphold it, there's no need for this kind of thing. So generally, I have been loath to the idea that we need to somehow add to the First Amendment. Well, my views are changing on that. And frankly, you know, I've been dealing with this for a very, very long time. But it's getting worse. I mean, almost every week, it seems like I come to you here on Facebook and over the other social media platforms and our podcast talking about all the free speech issues that we're dealing with at Created Equal. In fact, I think I talk more about free speech issues than I do abortion sometimes. Well, keep in mind, those two things are linked. We cannot have social reform without free speech, right? So you have to be able to speak in order to change people's hearts and minds. And the government is involving itself more and more in restricting speech. Ever since the election, the inauguration of Donald Trump, we've seen more of that as well. And so this kind of came to a head this week, folks. And it's probably going to get worse over the next month as we have officially launched our campus tour, which I'm going to talk about a little later. But this came to a head yesterday when our team of pro-life activists, our apologists who take out victim photos to college campuses, went to a college campus here in our backyard. That is Wright State University, which is in Dayton, Ohio. And even before we showed up, the university sent out an email to the community warning them that we were coming. Now, I'm going to get into that. But what I'd like to do is, if you would, Mr. Producer, cue up the video. Now, this is from Dayton Daily News. And Dayton Daily News got word of this email that went out to the Wright State community, that is students and faculty, I assume, talking about how they were warning people that the dreaded created equal is coming to their campus. And, you know, they needed to create these safe zones so people could go if they felt disturbed by our message. And so this email went out and it created some stir because the representative, Niraj Antani, who's a representative out of Miami Township here in Ohio, which is the jurisdiction there is in the Dayton area. He wrote Dayton Daily News and was really concerned and upset about the fact that this email was sent. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the video. This is directly from the Dayton Daily News, a reporter. And apparently this is I don't know if this is a student reporter. We're going to play this video and I'll respond to it and talk about the fallout of created equals presence on Wright State University.
Wright State University, where a pro-life group is on campus. And as you can see, there's a lot of dialogue going on back and forth between this pro-life group out of Columbus and the student body. However, the university says, even though a lot of the students may disagree with what this group has to say, they allow them to come here as long as they're not disrupting operations or causing any safety hazards, because as a public university, they have the right to come here and share their point of view. Now, this time around, Wright State University did tell me that they warned students that the group was coming because of some of the graphic signage that I'm not able to show you here, but I'll be hanging out here all afternoon. I'll be speaking with some of the students and protesters that are here, and I'll have more of that for you coming up at 5 o'clock.
Well, there you go. Now, here you go. I love the wording. Wright State University allowed us to come. Allowed us. No, sorry. Let's clear that up from the start. They didn't allow us. You know who allowed us? The founders. James Madison. He allowed us. The Constitution allowed us. Wright State University didn't give us permission. We didn't seek permission. We don't need permission to go on a public university. And here's why. Because it's funded by state tax dollars. It's open to the public and free speech. It is the marketplace of free speech. And so they didn't allow us to come on campus. The other thing is, I love how he says we can't show you these images. I mean, there's the whole deal again. These snowflakes on college campuses can't handle an image of an abortion. I mean, please, this is the 21st century. It's 2017. Think of what they look at online and on their mobile devices and all the other stuff. Don't tell me they can't handle this stuff. The reason why people don't want to show it is because it hurts people's feelings who's had abortions. Too bad. We live in a representative republic, a free country. If you don't like it, avert your gaze. Look the other way, right? That's our obligation. It's not the government's responsibility to censor speech, create these safe spaces, and so forth. It's all lunacy. That's what's going on. Now, I'm going to read from, if you would, Mr. Producer, bring up the Dayton Daily News article. What I want to read from is the letter or email that was sent to the Wright State University community. And this is just a portion of the letter that was included in the article from Dayton, the Dayton Daily News, talking about this controversy of created equal coming on campus with abortion victim photography. And here's what the, this was the vice president of student affairs. This is what he wrote, okay? As an institution of higher learning, I want to stop right there. Higher learning, I mean, really? I maybe at some point they were, I guess, but it's higher indoctrination, in my opinion, now with many of these places, all right? But I digress. As an institution of higher learning, it's imperative that we embrace diverse thoughts and ideas. Really? Who in their right mind really believes that Wright State University or any university campus in America really wants to embrace diverse thoughts or ideas? That is beyond, it's just hard to understand. Moreover, as a public university, Wright State must allow individuals or groups who wish to exercise their First Amendment rights on its campus the opportunity to do so. This is true even when individuals or groups express views that some in our community find offensive. I want to highlight two things there. Again, Wright State must allow. What are they being forced? Are they being, you know, are they being bound and gagged and being forced to allow us to come? You know, why don't we replace, if this was really an institution of higher learning and free thought, those words should be replaced with welcomes. Wright State welcomes individuals or groups who wish to exercise their First Amendment rights. They should welcome it, not must allow. It's like, oh gosh, we got to put up with these people. These are indoctrination centers, folks. They think they have, filibuster of students. They think they have complete control and authority of what they learn. They feel like they own the students and can protect them and teach them and show them what they want them to learn, but they really don't want so-called diverse thoughts and ideas. The other thing it says that, this is true even when individuals or groups views that some in the community find offensive. Okay, so my question is, what percentage of the student body or faculty, what is that percent that requires Wright State University to send out an email warning people about people like Created Equal and the message of abortion? Is it 30%? Is that some? How about 50%? Or maybe even just 1%. Maybe it's just, what if it's just one student who offends? Are they then required to send out this email warning students, the snowflakes? This is absurd, folks. Our country has lost its way. The leaders, the gatekeepers, those in authority on these places of so-called higher learning have no idea about who we are anymore. They reject the founding of our country. They despise the idea that an organization like ours could come on campus and talk to people about abortion. They want authority over their students. And the other thing is, by essence of just watching this young person talk about us, he doesn't have any clue about what the First Amendment is. We've lost the ability to teach our students about what our civil responsibilities, civility, right? First Amendment, Constitution, it's been lost to this generation. It's been lost to this generation. Let me go on here. It says, Wright State encouraged people uncomfortable with the event to avoid the quad. The quad is the place where we gathered all together, or to seek support from the school's counseling and wellness center. I mean, this is unbelievable. Let me just ask you this. If a pro-homosexual group came on campus, would they send out the same email warning those who might be offended, like myself, who would be offended by that? I mean, whether I'm offended or not, I would defend their rights to be on the campus. But what messages what messages trigger the email? Is it just conservative, pro-life, pro-family messages? Or is it also left-wing message? Because I'm sure there are some in the community that might find a gay rights organization's message offensive. I often do. Believe me, when it's here in Columbus at the Gay Pride Parade, They actually almost are nude in public. That's offensive to me. I haven't seen the city of Columbus send out an email warning families to stay out of downtown. I just haven't seen that one. What about Black Lives Matter? The message of Black Lives Matter, that only Black Lives Matter supposedly, offends me for the most part. I doubt that they're going to be sending an email out warning people about how that might be offensive. What about pro-abortion advocates who dress up in vagina costumes? That offends me as well, and I imagine it offends a percentage of the right state community. Again, it's content-based discrimination. They are singling out abortion, pro-life speech, and therefore creating this these supposed safe zones. And then finally, if you would, Mr. Producer, go back to the article. I want to read this final quote. This is from the university, from the Vice President of Student Affairs. He said, quote, "We had people in our community wanting to know when these types of things were happening. We decided we're going to get more committed going forward to telling the campus about these things." Again, selective. I wonder if there's a pro-life, pro-family Christian on campus, and he goes to this vice president and says, "I want to know when a pro-homosexual LGBTQ ABCDEFG group comes on campus. I want to know that, and I am asking you to send me an email when they come because I'd like to avoid the quad." What do you think the odds are that that vice president's going to go to do that? Like a zero? Zero. It's only pro-life, pro-family, pro-constitutional speech that's being treated this way. Now, thank God we have men like Niraj Antani, who is a representative in the Ohio State House. He represents Miami Township. And he wrote Mr. Dixon, and he also wrote the Dayton Daily News, which is the thing that started this controversy and being covered in the local media. And here's what Niraj Antani said. By the way, Niraj is a friend of mine, very strongly pro-life, pro-family. He's a good man. He says, "I'm saddened that it seemed as if we were taking a position on the protest when he said it must be allowed." That's my point. "That it might be offensive, that he will ensure the group behaves." That was also included in the letter. "That he ensures the group's..." By the way, what is that? Ensuring that we behave. In other words, what? We I don't know what that means, actually. Antani said, "This is disturbing when in university campuses already seem to be a bastion of liberal ideology." Bam. Niraj Antani is on it. He's on it. And so we have just basically, in essence, lost our campus tour this fall. And the first school we go to, this is what happens. Now, I can tell you this. They helped us out. I mean, the email created the controversy, which created the media, which created more attention to our issue, which is all a part of this, folks. I mean, I don't have a problem. Let them write the emails out there. It exposes them for who they are, and it gives us an additional platform. Social reformers always disturb people to get them to think, and we can use this media opportunity to teach. And so for me, I'm like, it's all good. Gives me an opportunity to talk to us or talk to those who we want to speak to. Now, additionally, that same morning, I got an email from a professor. His name is Corey Miller. I don't have any problem with talking about Corey Miller. He wrote me an email personally, and here's what he objected to, basically. And now, let me just back up. When people who are pro-abortion don't want to talk about abortion because they know they're wrong or they don't have the ability to actually defend themselves, what do? They change the subject. They make it about something else. They find something that they don't like or something they can pick on to try to shut you down or make you look bad or whatever, okay? It happens all the time. Most people, when they come up and they're pro-abortion, don't talk about the realities of abortion or whether the human is the preborn or human or not. They just don't, because they know they don't have the facts. So what do? They pound the table on other issues. And so this professor objected to our brochure. Okay. He didn't like it. He didn't like the way it was written. And he was concerned about a reference that is about, let's see, 14 years old in here. Okay. And it's talking about when human development begins. Like the science has changed, you know, and in 14 years, it's different than it was, than it is now. Basically, human life begins at conception. We've known it for decades, if not longer. And there's nothing new coming online that proves differently. So when you use an old quote, as long as it's still up to speed with the current situation, there's no problem with it. But that's what he wanted to object to. And he objected to how we might have put those in and edited them for our brochure. By the way, it's a brochure. It's not a book. We have a book, actually. It's the Moore and Persaud book on embryology, which we have on site, and we showed the professor. So we back up what's written in here with the textbook. He just didn't like that it wasn't, copyright 2017. Bottom line is the guy's pro-abortion, right? Now, he might not say he is, but he is. But here's what he objected to that. But basically, like I say, it's a ruse. Here's what he said. This is the email he wrote. And this gives you another picture. Not only do we have the vice president of the university coming out and sending this email out for all the snowflakes on campus who can't handle talking about abortion and seeing victim images that need to have a counseling center set up for them. Not only do we have that, but we have elitist professors like Corey Miller. And they're all over the campus, right, who feel like they have been given this solemn responsibility to watch over the well-being of the college and the students that go there. Like they own the students. The parents don't own them. They do, or God doesn't own them. They're not independent thinkers. They can't think on their own. So they got to have a Corey Miller that's going to be the gatekeeper, right? Here's what he wrote. I understand free speech and WSU's, that's Wright State University's, desire to foster free speech on campus. I love how people always start out with this, kind of tacit tip of the hat. Oh, I believe in this and this and this, but the rest of my email is going to be about how I really don't believe that. That's what this is about, okay? He goes, I understand the free speech and WSU's desire to foster free speech on campus, but, here we go, but I believe, there we go, I believe, well, what he believes is a lot more important probably than what we believe, because he's a professor at Wright State University, right? And what he says, you need to take as authority, right? He says, I believe that the speech must adhere to Wright State standards of scholastic honesty and integrity. I'm laughing, but it's tragic. This guy doesn't understand the First Amendment either. First of all, we are not a student, and therefore he's not grading our paper. This isn't a paper we wrote that he has to grade. So we are a public organization that goes on college campuses and talks to students about abortion. Now, he can have an opinion saying, yeah, it should be written differently. That's fine. But to talk about how it's, I believe that speech must adhere. It must adhere because he says it should. To WSU standards of scholastic honesty and integrity, like I'm sure everything else on Wright State University campus that's taught adheres to the scholastic honesty and integrity. Really? It's a bastion of liberal think, like every other college campus. But he thinks we should adhere to the standards of WSU's integrity. By the way, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or restricting the free speech thereof. Right? There's nothing in there about being honest or having integrity. Now, I believe we should be honest. I think we should have integrity. In fact, the reason why we should is because we want to be credible. We want people to take our arguments to heart and consider them. So we should have our own self-imposed standards of integrity and honesty. I mean, that goes without saying. But to think that this guy believes that we should come under the standards of Wright State University's policies, he doesn't understand the First Amendment. The First Amendment protects people to not tell the truth. If people want to lie, they can lie. Now, if you're talking about a public figure and, you know, there's defamation, false light, those kinds of things, and I should know that. We were sued and exonerated in court with Stericycle. But there's a very high bar when it comes to defamation, that kind of thing. In other words, the First Amendment protects people from being stupid and not being honest and not having integrity. It does. I mean, look at our politics today. Look at the things that are said about individual politicians, starting with our president going on down. Do you think those meet the standards, according to this professor, of scholastic honesty and integrity? No, they don't. But they're protected speech. Because the answer to speech you don't like or you don't think is honest is more speech, not less. More speech, not less. If you don't think it's honest, then show us the stuff that you believe is. Give me a quote. If you don't like this one here in our brochure, it talks about human development beginning at conception, then show me your quotes that say that human development starts some other time after conception. The bottom line is you're going to have a hard time finding that, at least in a medical journals and medical textbooks, which, by the way, this is where this is taking from. This Moore and Persaud textbook is currently being used on college campuses across the country as I speak. And I'm sure that quote is still in there. But anyway, so that's what this is. Now, let me read on. Although there are many inaccuracies in created equals literature, of course they are. Of course they're inaccurate, because you don't want to talk about whether abortion dismembers, decapitates, and disembowels a baby. So you got to deal with this question. One stood out in my opinion. You misquoted the textbook to the degree of its dishonesty scholastically. If a student had turned in a paper with similar scholarship, I would have given the student an F. Well, I mean, newsflash, I don't attend your college, and I'm not putting up I'm not giving you a paper for you to grade. Now, once again, we should adhere to high levels of scholastic integrity and honesty. And we do, as an organization, we do. But the idea that this guy has somehow been given the authority to grade us, it just shows you the arrogance of these elitist college professors on campuses around the country. Finally, and then we'll move on. Our good friend, Professor Corey Miller, says this in his finishing, in his final sentence of the email to me. He says, the concept the textbook was conveying, I like to see free speech at Wright State University, but we cannot stand for misquoting of scientific knowledge. He cannot stand it. So what is this guy's remedy? Is he going to say we can't come to campus? Are they going to have like walls around the campus, or they have gates so you can only say certain things when you're inside the campus, a public university? Is Corey Miller going to be making certain that everything said on college campuses adheres to the scholastic honesty integrity of Wright State University? I doubt it, even though I think if he was given the opportunity to do so, he probably would, because that's what this is about. This is about shutting down speech you don't like. Rather than engaging in the marketplace of ideas, you find something you don't like and you pick at it. You find a really small detail like this, and you go after that instead of the essence of the problem, which is baby killing, child killing, right? Murder. That's the problem. And that's what we're addressing on college campuses. But college professors like to make it about other things because they do not have a cogent argument against abortion. Now, Corey Miller, I mean, I've never met Corey Miller. Maybe I will meet Corey Miller, professor at Wright State University. In fact, I'd like to challenge Corey Miller to a debate on the First Amendment. I love that. On a college campus, let's debate his email. Let's debate what he believes should be instituted on a college campus, which is honesty and integrity, which basically means nothing that's pro-life can't come on campus, and you have to go through the gatekeepers like him to in order to speak. But I would love to debate him on college campuses, and who knows, when I respond to this email, maybe I'll give him that option, because that would be a whole lot of fun. But in his bio, and if you would, Mr. Producer, bring up the bio. You know, this man is a public figure. He's a professor. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong. This is on his webpage. I'm not disclosing anything that's not publicly known. In his bio, it says that his research interests include personal psychology, legal issues. Well, legal issues, the guy ought to know what the First Amendment means and what the Constitution stands for, and all the thousands of court precedents that protect free speech on college campuses, even if the speech is not accurate, even though ours was. He should know that. But again, and diversity management, the catchphrase, right, for all things are good. You know, all behavior is good. Nobody judges behavior. There's no right and wrong. I mean, diversity management usually is a catchphrase or buzzword for the LGBTQABCDEFG movement, right? He goes on and it says in his bio that he teaches often and writes on human sexuality. Therefore, now again, I could be completely wrong. I don't want to judge his motives entirely. And down below it says he has consulted on an independent basis on topics such as sexual harassment and diversity, personnel selection, questionnaire development, and personal appraisal. Okay, personnel appraisal. Well, I mean, that doesn't tell us everything about him, but this whole diversity management, human sexuality, sexual harassment, I'm opposed to all that, of course, and diversity. These are usually, you'd think diversity management, he'd be totally fine with our presence on campus. Now, again, he didn't come out and say we don't have the right to be there. They never do. They always just say, yeah, you have the right, but here's why you really shouldn't be here. And they pick something like, you know, and the thing is, he took the time to actually find the brochure that we were handing out before we even came to campus. Probably a day before when the email was sent out, he probably went online, found this and started looking, oh, how can I find ways of picking on these people? Because I really don't want to talk about abortion because they're going to bring victim images and they're going to get a lot of people talking and that kind of thing. So you got to give him some credit for actually taking the time and researching us. I think his arguments obviously are bogus, and that it really lends us to the idea that he has an agenda behind his trying to pick out these things to change the subject. But anyway, this is what's happening on college campuses. Therefore, along with the fact that we have been dealing with this week, attempting at least setting up arrangements to go to 27 college campuses listed here. And we are now beginning the process of going to these campuses, working with the universities, announcing that we're coming, not asking for permission. It has come to my attention that not all college campuses are the same. We've got some that allow this kind of thing and really are or at least allow, I should say, that welcome it, despite the fact that they, you know, they probably don't like it and are consistent with the First Amendment, and others that aren't. And so this has brought me to the point that, as I said at the beginning of the program, do we need to these legislative initiatives to codify in state law the protections that we are given in the First Amendment as it relates to campus free speech? I would have said a week ago or 10 days ago, no, I don't think it's necessary. As long as the colleges follow the rules and follow court precedent, follow the Constitution, I would say they're not necessary. But I have changed my point of view, and I am now going to be supporting the Campus Free Speech Act, which has been introduced into the Ohio legislature. Now, and that's what I want to talk about right now. There is a bill that has now been introduced in the Ohio legislature. And by the way, this is a model piece of legislation that has also been introduced around the country. There's also been hearings in Washington about this whole problem of campus free speech and the need to slap down these professors and slap down these university professors and college presidents and vice presidents of student affairs to let them know that they don't own the campus and they don't own the students, and that we are a nation of laws governed by our Constitution. And the state government is the one that should be overseeing to make sure that that happens, because the state government is the one that allocates tax dollars to public universities within the borders of the state. Therefore, they have jurisdiction. And so I am now coming out publicly in support of the Campus Free Speech Act that has been introduced in the Ohio legislature. And it's been introduced by Representatives Will Goodman and Andrew Brenner, two good men, two constitutionalists, who introduced this piece of legislation just a couple of days ago or weeks ago. Now, if you would, Mr. Producer, scan on down. I'm not going to bore you with this, with the entire bill. Basically, here's what it does. Reading from just a summary of the bill, 7-2, you can only have 5 people there, and only 2 of them can talk to people. And it's going to be in this specific area on campus, which very few people pass by. That's becoming more and more the case on college campuses. And we're confronting that even now, right now, with the tour that we're about to launch. Well, it started yesterday at Wright State University. We're dealing with this more and more on college campuses, these free speech zones. So this piece of legislation would do away with those altogether. I'm for that. Number 3 bullet point: prevents heckler's vetoes by prohibiting universities from disinviting speakers based on the potential reaction, opposition, offense, or irritation taken to that speaker's expression. This is also a big deal. They call them heckler's veto. You know what a heckler is? A heckler is somebody, when you're speaking, they're over here going rah, 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 and trying to shout you down, right? Trying to shut you down by overwhelming you with their noise or their mob mentality, okay? We have seen that being used effectively at Berkeley, right? Milo Yiannopoulos was supposedly going to speak there last spring. Ann Coulter and others have canceled events on Berkeley's campus because the mob threatened them with force. That's a heckler's veto. The university, which is a public university, a public establishment funded by tax dollars, it is their responsibility to protect politically incorrect speech. Speech that might, as it says here, bring about opposition, offense, or irritation. In fact, the First Amendment was put into place to protect the very speech that people don't like. It's not like the speech that people like that needs protected. If you would, Mr. Producer, put up that protest sign that I found on a college campus a while back. This is the perfect summary of what a university believes these days as it relates to so-called free speech and what students are learning to also believe, and they're being reinforced by the university. This is the perfect protest sign. We condemn free speech. We condemn freedom of speech that hurts other people's feelings. They need a civics lesson. That's the very speech the First Amendment was written to protect, the type that offends people's feelings. It's the responsibility of that person to avoid the person or individual or the speech if they don't like it, to avert their gaze, to not go into the area. It's not the responsibility of the speaker to self-censor or for the university or government institution to censor them based on the reactions of a mob. In other words, the heckler's veto. the heckler's veto is unconstitutional. And if taken to court, 9 times out of 10, at least historically, it has been found to be unconstitutional. But we are finding that more and more on campus, that universities are allowing hecklers to veto free speech. And therefore, these types of legislation that's being introduced here in the state of Ohio by Representatives Will Goodman and Andrew Brenner, I have now come around to believe that they're worth supporting. Now, not because I believe the First Amendment needs added to or enhanced. That's not the point. These pieces of legislation are mainly symbolic, but they are a signal, a shot across the bow of these campuses and these universities around America, that if you do this stuff, you're going to have to answer to us as the governing body of these institutions. And it slaps down these arrogant professors and presidents of these universities that institute these speech codes, safe zones, free speech zones, and so forth on campus. And it at least says you are now on notice that you cannot violate the rights of individual Americans to express themselves on college campuses, irrespective of whether people are offended by the message or not. So therefore, I support these types of legislation, and we will be getting behind the Campus Free Speech Act here in Ohio. And I exhort you as a listener, if you live in the state of Ohio and you're a voter, to let your representatives know that you also support this piece of legislation. All right, let us wrap it up. Here's what I want to do. I want to just give you an idea of what we are now going to be undertaking in the next month or so as it relates to our fall outreach campaign. To say that this is aggressive is an understatement. Every semester is aggressive for us. But we're not about numbers, by the way. We don't care if we increase the number of campuses if we go to next year or what. That's not what we're about. We're not about saying, oh, we did this last year, we did this many this year. No. We just want to be effective. And sometimes going more places and doing more things isn't necessarily what's effective. What may be most effective is being more strategic and tactical in where we go, when we go, and what kind of message we're presenting, right? Because we do have an overarching strategy to ending abortion, and it's not just about increasing numbers, going to, you know, a lot more high schools and college campuses, although that would be all good if we were able to pull that off. That is not necessarily why we do what we do. But here we go. We are going to be visiting 33 high schools. If you could put up that graphic, Mr. Producer, we have 33 high schools coming up. Oh, that's the wrong event. There we go. 33 high schools. This is in the next month, folks. Think about that. I mean, there's only, 21 business days in a week? That's a lot of high schools. 33 high schools, 27 college campuses, 6 Operation Overpasses. What those are is we hold banners over walk bridges in busy metropolitan areas like Columbus and others around the country. And 30 sidewalk counseling efforts outside abortion facilities. 30. That means we will be there pleading with women and men not to kill their babies at 30 locations around Ohio and the Midwest in the next 30 days. These include Ohio State, Cleveland State, Wright State, University of Akron, Capital University, Bowling Green, University of Toledo, Youngstown State, Wayne State, Michigan State, University of Michigan. By the way, boo, boo, go Bucks. Lansing Community College, Eastern Michigan, Penn State, University of Pennsylvania, Temple, University of Pittsburgh, Indiana, Indiana University of Bloomington, Ball State, University of Louisville, University of Kentucky, West Virginia University, and I go on and on. Here we are. Those are the college campuses. So here's my point. Do you think we're going to run into some problems here with professors like Corey Miller? Probably. Who think that they have authority over their students? Who think that they own the campus? Probably. Do you think we're going to run into university campuses that fight us? Yes, we already are. We need good lawyers, and we need support. We need your financial support. We need your prayer support. So, folks, if you want to find out more about our campus tour, go to createdequal.org, or go to our Facebook page, where we'll be regularly reporting on our efforts around the country on high school and university campuses out from the abortion mills and the overpasses of our cities. So that's our story from today, talking about free speech issues, the free speech, the Campus Free Speech Act that's been introduced in the state of Ohio, and this lunacy that's happening on college campuses all across the country, these safe zones and these speech codes that have to be now slapped down by the legislatures of the states around the country. I wish it wasn't true. I wish that the First Amendment was enough for these people to learn their lesson. I wish it were the court precedent upholding the rights of individuals and groups like myself to go on college campuses was enough, but it doesn't appear that it is. There needs to be a rebuke from the state legislature to colleges like Wright State University that you can no longer try to curtail, obstruct, or harass people who have speech that they don't, that you don't like. So that's why I'm supporting the Campus Free Speech Act, and I hope you do as well. Folks, appreciate you listening, paying attention, watching the program. Again, we come to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time here on Facebook and other media platforms. The good news is I've only got 9 days left on my Facebook ban. 9 days left, and you're going to be able to follow me on Facebook personally. Once again, your radio activist, you're going to be able to follow me on my Facebook page. Another problem, by the way, the free speech issue is Facebook, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. But anyway, so 9 days left. I'll be back on Facebook. But you can watch us every Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time here on Facebook and other media platforms, as well as our podcast. You can pick that up on podbean.com. Go to createdequal.org and find out more about all the media that we have coming out. So, folks, keep the fight. Don't give up. Keep fighting for the First Amendment, the right to speech, our liberties. They're dear to us, and they're necessary for us to end child killing in America. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net. Createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.